This is Radioactive, a grassroots environmental and social justice news journal for August 8th, 2019. This is Meredith DeFrancesco. Today we speak with Mackenzie Swift, who took a stand against white supremacist group Maine for Mainers and is being targeted at her workplace, Slate's Restaurant in Hollowell. We hear her experience and discuss the responsibility of businesses and communities in responding to white supremacy and harassment. We spoke yesterday in the studio with Mackenzie Swift and Sass Linekin, the Director of Resources for Organizing and Social Change, a racial justice activist, and Mackenzie's mother, and by phone with Christine from the Central Maine chapter of Surge, Showing Up for Racial Justice. So Mackenzie, we'd like to start with you telling us the beginnings of this story and how it's been unfolding, and then we want to get into the implications of this story with you all in more detail.
Okay, yeah. So basically how this all started is I found out on Facebook about this group called Maine for Mainers. I went and did some research on the group because I had seen some people that I know on Facebook saying that they were a white supremacist group, so I wanted to check them out and see what they were all about. Upon looking at the group on Facebook, I saw that the admin of the group was Tom Kaczynski, who, if everyone remembers, was the white supremacist town manager of Jackman, who was fired last year after his views became public. So I took a look at this group. I looked at some of the memes, some of the posts that they were sharing, and I saw a lot of blatant racism. There were people posting about, you know, the downfall of America is being caused by race mixing, and, you know, a lot of fake news stories about immigrants killing people and just terrible things like that. So I decided to make a post on my own personal Facebook page about this group after I noticed that State Representative Shelley Rudnicki was a member of the group. So I made a post on my own Facebook basically saying, hey, everyone, just so you're aware, this group Maine for Mainers is out here. It's run by the notorious white supremacist Tom Kaczynski, and there's a state legislator in the group. So it's a public group. Go check it out if you're interested.
And they were also sharing personal information about people that you knew, right?
Yeah, somebody that I was friends with had made a post about how they were likely going to be doxxed by these people, which is what originally got me interested.
And doxxed means?
Doxxed means when you find somebody's personal information and you share it online. So if you find out where somebody works or you find out their address, anything that could personally identify them, and then you release it basically for the intent of having that person be harassed. So, yeah, I made that Facebook post, and then somebody on my friends list asked me to make it shareable. I expected just that guy was going to share it, but it ended up getting, like, 60 shares. And then at some point, somebody from Maine for Mainers found the group. Found my post, I should say. So they found my post, they went and looked on my Facebook, and they were able to see where I work. So one particular woman in the group, her name is Camille Cheney Patterson. She posted publicly in the Maine for Mainers group saying that this is where I work and everybody should be calling this place and publicly disavowing me, and to put pressure on them and to threaten them with going to conservative media outlets if they don't decide to publicly disavow me or do anything about me working there. So at that point, Slate's started getting waves.
That's your employer.
That's
Slate's
the employer.
In Hollowell.
Yep, Slate's restaurant in Hollowell. They started getting floods of messages from people complaining about me, saying that they didn't feel comfortable with me being at Slate's. I heard from my manager that people were, you know, putting out these crazy lies, saying I was a member of Antifa, saying that I stated that I would spit in people's food if they came in, that I was going to physically harm people who came in wearing Make America Great Again hats, just like really kind of like out there crazy stuff. So, yeah, that all started from a Facebook post.
Can you talk a little bit more about this discussion about white supremacists and Slate's defense of...
Yeah, so after my manager and the owner of Slate's found out that people were messaging Slate's, I got a call from my manager, and she was immediately really angry. She told me that, you know, I was pretty much single-handedly responsible for the downfall of Slate's. She told me that all of this was my fault, that all of this could be fixed if any posts that I made were removed from online. I had made a post after I first found out that they had doxed me, and I said something like, I'm not going to be fired. You know, you guys are making yourselves look ridiculous, because they've always pushed themselves as being very liberal, very progressive, very pro-LGBT. So I assumed that nothing would come of this and that my workplace would stand behind me in this. And then the manager told me that I needed to take down that post saying that I wasn't fired because no decisions regarding whether or not I was going to continue working there had been made yet.
But you yourself were being accused of being prejudiced.
Well, you know, my boss, the owner, Wendy, when I talked to her on the phone, when I finally got on the phone with her, she told me that calling someone a neo-Nazi was just as bad as calling someone the N-word.
Which she did not use.
Which she actually said, the word. Yeah, so it was being equated to being the same thing. When I got on the phone with Wendy, it was largely the same response. It was, you brought this on Slate's. This is all your fault. Everyone has always been welcome at Slate's, including white supremacists, which was said to me several times, saying that, you know, the false equivalency of neo-Nazis, calling someone a neo-Nazi being the same thing as calling someone a racial slur. And then, you know, at the same time, some of the people in this group had been posting about, one person posted and said that they were going to come into Slate's. Another person, Tom Kaczynski himself, posted in response to a comment that my boyfriend had made saying he should be more careful, especially considering he has children. So this was kind of scary, coupled with the fact that I was being told that all of these crazy things were being sent into Slate's about me. And then the manager, Ingrid, also told me that, you know, somebody had said that all 300 of them were going to show up at Slate's or something. So I was scared. So I had told my boss that I needed that information so that I could go to the police and try to file some sort of order of protection, not only for myself, but also because they continued beating into my head that this was my fault and I was putting everyone at risk by putting my political views out there. So I also felt a responsibility to my coworkers in that. So, I had said that I wanted that. I was told by both my manager and by the owner, Wendy, that I was not allowed to have any of that information, that they would turn it over to the police only. And then I said, okay, well, you know, if you're not going to give me that information, and at this point I had talked to the police and they told me I needed to go through the court system. And I said, if you're not going to give me that information, then I don't feel safe coming to work right now. You know, I mean, aside from the fact that I'm Jewish, which I don't think that they knew at the time, but, you know, that's kind of scary. And then also, you know, we have white supremacists out here feeling emboldened to go and kill 20 people in El Paso, Texas, because, you know, nobody's doing anything about their ideology. We have an administration that is basically, you know, supportive of white supremacists in so many words. So, you know, I felt scared. And I was told that I would get no help in covering my shifts, that was all my responsibility, that this was all my fault, and that if I didn't come into work, I would be fired. I was told that, you know, it was time to come in and face the music. If I didn't go to work and all my coworkers had to, I was keeping myself safe and cowering at home while they all had to be there to deal with it. And she, my boss, Wendy, told me that they're going to find out where you live eventually, so you may as well come to work. So it's a lot. There's probably a lot that I'm even forgetting to say, but I got a very largely, like, very negative, kind of blaming, shameful response about this when I was pretty scared.
Sass Linekin is the Director of Resources for Organizing and Social Change, a racial justice activist, and Mackenzie Swift's mother.
And something to note is that one of the ways that Slate's has been defending themselves through this and saying that they have been protecting Mackenzie is that she, her job is still safe, but they didn't make that decision until they had conferred with their lawyer. So, you know, optics wise, this looks to me like that was a self-preserving choice that they made. Just like they have continuously stated online repeatedly that they turned over all this evidence to the Hollowell Police Department, but we didn't find out until earlier this morning that no information had been turned over, which is a problem on a number of different levels, the first of which being that that's protection of white nationalists. And in doing that at the cost of a feeling of safety of their employee, and the fact that, you know, I mean, I'm Mackenzie's mother, so I have this mama bear thing going for me, and I'm really upset about the fact that my daughter was being targeted and harassed by white nationalists, and her employer's response was to incessantly pile on that harassment. Not a single coworker, not her manager, not the owner. Nobody has asked her at any point if she's okay. They've done nothing but blame her and tell her that she brought it on herself. One of her coworkers messaged her and called her a dumb effing C word. And
among other things.
Yeah, among other things. And I mean, that's just one of many messages that, that she has received. And we've continuously tried to make the point to them that, look, you know, not turning this information over not only fails to allow Mackenzie to be able to protect herself, but I mean, this is how white supremacy thrives, is white people don't want to be uncomfortable. They didn't want to lose business. They were afraid that these people weren't going to show up. And these people live in, like, you know, Aroostook County. The restaurant's based in Hollowell, and that's a really liberal place. And if they were to have come out unequivocally against white supremacy and show that they support their employee, my guess is that that would have been really beneficial to their business.
So, Mackenzie, if you want to tell us what Slates has given as their formal response.
Yeah. So, you know, after I was getting this lack of support from Slates over and over again, obviously all of this information ended up being public on Facebook. Slates did issue a response on their Facebook page to everything that had come out.
Mackenzie Swift reads the public statement by Wendy Larson, the owner of Slates.
It says, from Wendy at Slates, I have been a proponent of equal rights in Hollowell for 40 years. Slates does not tolerate hate, never has, and never will. We have been a haven for diversity. I am opposed to any belief diminishing one person's value over another. I am a firm believer in the First Amendment. We are a family and stand together in our belief that love and truth wins in the end.
Sass Lineken.
Just like to say that, well, first of all, I think that the response was weak because it didn't denounce white supremacy explicitly. It said nothing of supporting their employee. And one of the things that was glaring to me was the fact that she says that she is a firm believer in the First Amendment. And that was, I was a little nervous about that particular statement because she was not supportive of Mackenzie using her First Amendment rights. So I almost felt like it sounded like a dog whistle to people who are espousing hate. It almost sounded to me like she was saying, don't worry about it, you're welcome here.
You are listening to Radioactive on WERU Community Radio. Today we're speaking with Mackenzie Swift, who took a stand against white supremacist group Maine for Mainers and is being targeted at her workplace. We hear her experience and discuss the responsibility of businesses and communities in responding to white supremacy and harassment. We spoke yesterday in the studio with Mackenzie Swift and Sass Lineken, the Director of Resources for Organizing and Social Change, a racial justice activist, and Mackenzie's mother, and by phone with Christine from the Central Maine chapter of Surge, Showing Up for Racial Justice. Mackenzie, if we can bring your reflections back in, and also in the context, as we were talking earlier off mic, about what happens when businesses or anyone refuses to explicitly denounce white supremacy. We know Slates has said that they don't want to be political, but what that means when you don't take a stand against something like white supremacy or white nationalism.
Right. So, you know, obviously Slates never asked to be put in the middle of any of this, you know. I made a statement on Facebook which got the attention of white supremacists, white nationalists, and then they decided to bring my workplace into it. So Slates didn't ask for that, but once they brought in, they were brought into it, they had a responsibility to respond in, you know, a more, I guess, a more thoughtful way, I think. You know, I think that when white supremacist groups decides that one of their tactics to silencing opposition is going to be to contact people's employers to try to stir up trouble, and the employer's response is to get mad at the person being harassed and then not take a strong stance against that kind of ideology, I think that shows white supremacist groups that's an effective strategy to use when you want to terrorize people who don't agree with you.
Sass Lineken.
One other point I'd like to make about this response is that one of the defenses that they've taken strongly is that Slates has always been a strong proponent of LGBTQ rights. But when you think about the intersections of oppression within that community, if you are not outwardly anti-racist, then you are not, you know, your allyship with that community is performative at best, because when we think about who is the most oppressed demographic of that community, it's Black trans women. So to be an LGBTQ rights advocate is to be anti-racist as well. Those things go hand in hand.
Mackenzie Swift.
And another point, you know, to not mince words here, when you refuse to denounce white supremacy by name, you know, knowing that Black trans women are the most affected demographic, you know, the most discriminated against, you know, you are indirectly saying, you know, we will welcome you into our restaurant, but we will also welcome people who wish that you were dead and actively want to harm you, and in many cases around the country have harmed people from those demographics. We will welcome you into this restaurant and let you sit beside the people that you want to kill.
Let's talk about what we know about the presence of white nationalist or white supremacist groups in Maine, specifically this group that has organized to target you, Mackenzie, but what we know about that presence in Maine, and if we can, we'll try to put that in a national context. Mackenzie, do you want to start, and then we'll bring in the other two?
Yeah, so Tom Kaczynski moved to Maine, I think it was not quite 2 years ago now. He moved to Maine from Arizona, and a few months later, he got that job as town manager in Jackman. But while he was working as the town manager for Jackman, he was actively trying to establish this white ethnostate that he called New Albion. He posted online on a website called Gab, which is basically Twitter, but for white supremacists. He posted, you know, all of his plans for wanting, you know, a 95% white population. And he said flat out that he wanted it to be 95% white rather than 100% white, because he wanted to make his plan more palatable to everyday people who may not otherwise want to associate themselves with his extreme ideology. So, you know, he was very quietly kind of building this platform and this community and gaining followers and supporters around the state. Until obviously he was found out, his Gab account was found, and then at that point, you know, he was ousted from his job, and now his platform is mainly Gab and his group Maine for Mainers on Facebook. But yeah, he was very clear about the fact that he was planning on, you know, starting a community where, you know, people of color or people of any demographic besides, like, you know, white, straight, Christian. You know, he wanted them forcibly removed, and he wanted to get the chance to get this message out to people and make it seem less extreme, so that people who weren't familiar with his tactics would say, oh, you know, this doesn't sound so bad. He's not explicitly saying he wants to, you know, kill Black people, or, you know, he's not explicitly saying they can't be there. So he was trying to make it seemed more mainstream, and he knew exactly what he was doing. He said it in interviews.
Sass Lineken.
It's important to note that he didn't just come here and then share this dangerous ideology. He came here to share his dangerous ideology. And I think that it's, you know, and that's one of the reasons it's so egregious that Slates is taking the stand that they are, because this isn't just like an abstract thing where we looked in and we're like, oh, we don't like what he's posting. Like, he's a very well-known white nationalist, and he's his work has been reported on by national news organizations like the Washington Post. This isn't, you know, this isn't an assumption that we're making about this person.
So how much traction do we feel at this point, 2 years into his time here, has Maine for Mainers, quote unquote, got now in Maine? Do either of you know, or Mackenzie Swift?
So their group is somewhere hovering around 360 members right now.
And that's online?
That's online, yep. They have about 360 members in their Facebook group. So I think that his group is small, but I do think that a lot of the people that he has in his group are well-organized and dangerous people who are willing to lend themselves to this cause. So as far as, you know, his overall following in Maine, I don't think it's necessarily huge, but he's definitely getting the attention of white nationalists nationwide who want to get behind this.
Sass Lineken.
And it's important to note, too, that, I mean, right on that page, he, you know, this is a strategy. The getting into seats of power, become the town manager and stuff, like that's actually a strategy that they're using so that they can dismantle protections for people of color and other demographics who are marginalized.
Christine, thanks for being on the line. Christine with Showing Up for Racial Justice Surge, which is a national network, but you're with the Central Maine chapter. Can we bring you in to have any comments specifically on this case or contextualizing within a larger context?
Sure. Thank you so much for having me. And I just want to say, Mackenzie, I'm so proud of you. I don't think you're hearing that enough, but I'm so proud of you.
Thank you so much.
So I don't know if I'll be as articulate as Sass and Mackenzie right now, but I'll try my best. One group that I want to put out there that I don't think is getting enough attention as a white nationalist organization is Maine First, which is led by Larry Lockman, who is a representative from Hancock County. I wish I could speak as articulately as Sass and Mackenzie can about that group and Larry Lockman's role in it, but I've been, you know, following it for the last couple years, and a lot of the same currents that we see coming out of Tom Kaczynski and his crew are also very much alive and well in that movement. They're a lot of very virulent, I think it's how you say that word, hate speech and hate and anti-immigrant. And one of the reasons why I want to bring that group up is because of their representation in the State House and because they are a pretty, like, well-established group. There are definitely way more white nationalists and white supremacist currents in Maine than I think people are realizing. And I also think that people, when they are faced with them, are often not taking them as seriously as they need to be taken. And I don't think that that's just a trend in Maine. I think that's a national trend. People tend to get faced with these white supremacists and white nationalist folks in their communities and really see them as, you know, fringe, or some people say mentally ill, which is, you know, definitely not accurate. Most people who engage in this kinds of hate speech and hate acts like we saw in Texas recently actually are not people with mental health diagnoses. But there's definitely a tendency to not take this stuff seriously. And I just really want to urge people to not see these movements as fringe and to actually see these people are organizers and they're activists just like I am. They, are sometimes well organized and sometimes not, but they definitely are a movement of people that have a goal to gain political power, and they're doing that in effective and ineffective ways, and we really need to counter their organizing with a really strong resistance. And one other thing that I'd like to say just about, like, trends of white supremacy and white nationalism in Maine is that, you know, there's a spectrum. There's you know, leaders like Tom Kaczynski and Larry Lockman and others who, like, have bigger names. And then there's also a lot of everyday white supremacy and white nationalism that's happening all around us all the time. So I live outside of the Lewiston area, and there, you know, I can just tell you from my experience, and especially, you know, there's like a haven on the internet for this kind of hate speech. And really, I think we use the word hate speech too much, and we should be saying terrorism. But there, you know, the internet tends to be an incredible haven for this ideology to fester, and also for this organizing to be able to happen. And as someone who lives outside of Lewiston, which has like a very, very vibrant African immigrant community, I see very, very often these trends of white supremacy and white nationalism happening in my community. Unfortunately, just way too often, because any time is too often than I'd like to report. And so, yeah, I just really want to encourage people to really look around them, to really open your eyes, and to really see these currents that are happening in Maine, and to very, very much take them very seriously as you would any other political issue.
Unfortunately, we have just about a minute left to wrap up today, but we should continue this conversation, particularly as this particular case unfolds and as this broader discussion obviously needs to be happening more in depth, and maybe we can do an hour-long special sometime on WERU. So if we could quickly have any closing comments, how people can keep up with this issue broadly and specifically.
Well, there's a counter group to the Maine for Mainers on Facebook called Maine for Everyone, which Mackenzie started when this happened to try to, you know, counteract what they were doing. And it's a great place to not only keep up with what's going on with this case, but also to find resources on how to plug in and you know, join the resistance.
Christine, anything that you would add?
In the interest of time, I would just say that one thing folks can do to try to keep up with what's going on is, like the Central Maine Showing Up for Racial Justice Facebook page. You could also join our email list. If you want to get engaged in racial justice work and stopping white supremacy and white nationalism in Maine, and you don't know where to start, please send me an email directly, and I would love to hook you up with resources that you need. And so my email is Christine Surge, S-U-R-J, at riseup.net. But most importantly, really like show up for people of color in your community when there are events happening, when there are calls for people to gather, when there are calls asking for help. Like, show up for people of color, build relationships that are authentic, and really follow people of color's leadership. That's really what's going to win in the end.
Don Neptune Adams, member of Sunlight Media Collective, which co-produced today's program, and member of the Penobscot Nation.
Well, when these issues come out from under the rocks where they've been lurking, you know, we see white supremacy and white nationalism in two ways. We see it in covert and in overt ways. And, you know, you've helped bring this to the awareness of the people of Maine. Thank you for bringing this to our attention and to the attention of people who largely do not see it, partly because of privilege and partly because it's obscured.
Mackenzie Swift.
Thank you. Yeah, I guess my biggest hope through all of this is that people who become aware of this issue, you know, not just individuals, but also business leaders, are willing to be open and to denounce white supremacy, denounce white nationalism, and to really send a message to the people who are perpetuating this hate that it will not be welcome here.
Thank you, Mackenzie, Sass, and Christine, for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much, Meredith.
And you've been listening to Radioactive on WERU Community Radio. Today's program was co-produced by Sunlight Media Collective, with production assistance by Don Neptune Adams. You can listen to archives of this and other locally produced public affairs programming at weru.org. If you would like to support locally produced grassroots media like Radioactive, please call 1-800-643-6273. Let us know if programming like this is important to you. Any amount makes you a member of WERU Community Radio, broadcasting from Blue Hill Mountain at 89.9 or online at weru.org.